Hi, I'm Carrie Butler, and you're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. I have a special offer for my listeners. You can get my new course at carriebutlercoach.com/Broadway Podcast.
This episode is brought to you by Shopify. Forget the frustration of picking commerce platforms when you switch your business to Shopify, the global commerce platform that supercharges your selling wherever you sell. With Shopify, you'll harness the same intuitive features, trusted apps, and powerful analytics used by the world's leading brands. Sign up today for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/tech, all lowercase. That's shopify.com/tech.
Once I played a penny who just couldn't stop the beat. Yes, with roller skates on her feet. A girl who loved to please. A girl who's recently deceased. A real cool mom. A musical version of Tina Fey. Tina Fey. Now come with me. Carrie Butler, together you and I are breaking Broadway.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Breaking Broadway. Now, as a mom, I don't love social media for my kids, but for performers, I think it's really, really important. From past podcasts we've done, casting directors have come on and said that they look for people on social media. Also, Beetlejuice was literally raised from the dead, particularly because of TikTok. Our fan base became huge. The music on the show was huge on TikTok. And I started going on TikTok when Presley Ryan left the show. She was our TikToker. And I thought, oh gosh, now that she's leaving, I have to like keep TikTok going. And I did not know what I was doing. But, you know, I kept trying to do that. And now I keep going on TikTok because I think it's a great way to connect with fans. And I think, again, as performers, it's a good way to stay relevant. So my daughters kind of tell me what to do. I was on TikTok and I thought, I don't know if my daughter suggested it, but I thought, oh, I should do one of those like reaction videos. So I'm going to like put in somebody who's done Fly, Fly Away, and then I'm going to show my reaction to watching them sing. So I did that. And our guest today, Emily Kristen Morris, was the first person that came up singing Fly, Fly Away. And literally, I do not know what I'm doing. I look half asleep doing it, but she was fantastic. I mean, she nailed it. It was an amazing self-tape. And I'm thinking like, oh, this is like some kid who did it. And then I go and look at her, like after I post it, I look at her and then I'm like, oh my gosh, she has almost 2 million followers. She's a working actress. She's already been the standby in Wicked. She played B in Something Rotten on the tour. And so then I thought, oh my gosh, this is an amazing person to have on to the podcast. Someone who's like really making it happen for themselves. And then like, it seems like, welcome Emily to the show.
Hi.
It seems like when I look at your stuff, it seems like you're doing everything right. Like your resume looks amazing.
Oh, thank you.
Following for yourself on TikTok. You already have done like a lot of regional theater. It's like, you're a perfect person to have on the show because you're really inspiring and making it happen for yourself, you know? So tell us a little bit about like, where you're from and like when you fell in love with theater and when you knew this was what you wanted to do.
Sure. Well, I mean, I have to start by saying, Carrie, I'm just like so grateful and honored to be here. Firstly, like I just think the world of you and I always have. And the first show I ever saw on Broadway was Hairspray. My first Broadway experience. I went with my grandma and my cousin and my mom and we bought the CD and we went home and we listened to it all night long. And like you're my Penny. You're my Audrey. So anyway, it's just really fun to meet you.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. But yeah, I grew up in San Francisco, California, which is just the best city in the world. Everybody go. It's the best. I don't come from the, you know, theater family at all. My parents are architects. But it became clear early on that I was, you know, wanting to do that and sing and act and all the things. So, grew up doing.
So, like, was going to Hairspray like a big trip for your family?
Oh yeah, totally, totally.
How old were you?
A huge deal. My it was like what, 2004, I want to say. So I was in fourth grade.
Oh my gosh! Yeah.
So
I'm so honored that I was your first Broadway show.
Oh my god, the best one.
And did you know that you wanted that as a career when you saw before you saw Hairspray?
I don't think I knew yet. I did my first musical around that time. So it was like, oh, I really like this. But I don't think I had made the connection to, like, this is what I want to do with my life yet. I knew I loved it. And I knew I loved the show. I like very vividly actually remember leaving the theater. How old are you in fourth grade? Like 10, 11, maybe? Anyway, I remember leaving the theater. Maybe younger, yeah. And asking my grandma, because a few moments in the show, I guess this happened, what a rubber was. Rubber? I kept talking about it.
Anyway. Was she like, anywhere when it rains?
Yeah, totally. Absolutely. Yeah.
When did you know you wanted to do this?
I started doing musicals, you know, at like children's theater and teen young people theater, middle school and high school. And yeah, certainly by high school, I knew. I started, you know, I went to like theater camp and I went to Stage Door Manor, and that was definitely like,
oh,
people take it seriously here, you know, meeting other people who cared as much as I did. And that was very formative, I think. By maybe 14, I think I knew. Yeah.
And you went to a great college, right? I looked that up.
Yeah. Yeah. So I went to CCM, Cincinnati Conservatory of Music, and graduated in 2017, and had a great time. And learned so, so much and made like all the best friends in the world. And I, along with being a performer, I'm also a voice teacher. And a lot of like students will ask me, you know, is that path necessary? Do you have to get a BFA to succeed? And like, of course, the answer is no, right? Like, there are so many, I mean, you know this, Carrie, there's so many people on Broadway stages with no BFA. In fact, they have, you know, no college degree at all, or maybe they have a degree in something completely separate, and you know, so it doesn't matter. And yet I attribute so much of like who I am as a performer to those 4 years. I feel like I learned so much, and I was lucky to feel like I was set up pretty well for the move to New York. You know, my whole class moved together, and you know, we showcased and did the whole thing. So anyway, I feel very, very grateful for CCM.
Yeah, I went to college too, and I loved it. I just loved it so much. So did you get an agent right out of college?
I did, yeah. But I will say, if you don't, that doesn't mean you're a bad person. It doesn't mean you did something wrong. I only got one, pretty much, you know, one person reached out, and that's who I ended up with. And I had friends who had lots of agent responses and friends who had none. And so anyway, just want to put that out there. So I got an agent from Showcase, not my current agent, but I had an agent for, yeah, the first few years in New York from Showcase.
And when did you get your first like big part that you were really excited about?
Yeah. So I moved to New York without an Equity card. I hope it's different now post-COVID. I don't know if it is, but I know a lot has changed, but I was like really doing that thing where if I wasn't working my day job, I was getting up at 4 a.m. to write my name on some list and then sit until 4 p.m. to be told we're not seeing non-union actors. And I did that like, you know, sometimes 3-4 times a week, every week for like a year.
Wow.
And felt crazy. I felt like a crazy person. I felt like what's got to give? I know I have something to offer. I know, you know, and it's just, the first year in New York is really hard because it's also just about getting your face out there so that people can trust that you're consistent and so they can see you a few times. Yeah. And, anyway, so I had like about a year of like, yeah, nothing, a lot of callbacks, but nothing sticking. You know, you're playing the comparison game and you're seeing other people booking things and you're wondering what's wrong with you, blah, blah, blah. And then about a year after graduation, I booked like 3 things. Right off the bat, I was booked for like a year and a half. And I did 2 summer stock gigs and then went straight into a national tour. And that's how it goes. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I always tell people I auditioned for Broadway shows for like 10 years before I ever got into one.
Really? But you, yeah, how old were you during Hairspray?
During Hairspray, well, I was so old. No, you I was not. I was not a kid. No. I mean, I had already done shows before Hairspray, but I had been in the business since I was 9. Mm. And so I didn't get my first Broadway show until right after college. But I had been auditioning because I lived in New York. So mm-hmm. I've been auditioning mm-hmm. all that time, not getting it.
Mm.
So you have to pay your dues. Mm-hmm. For most people have to pay their dues.
Yeah. 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 And it's a hard pill to swallow. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How did you build up this following on TikTok? Was that something you like purposely tried to do?
Not really. Yeah, it's funny because now it's like a whole thing and I guess you could call me, you know, an influencer, I guess. But that certainly was not the intention. I joined TikTok in 2020 because the world shut down and I was, so I had just got certified as a voice teacher through the Institute for Vocal Advancement. And I had finished national tour of Something Rotten and I was back in New York and I had just gotten, certified as a voice teacher. I was teaching like on the side online mostly while I was auditioning. And then the pandemic hit and I like, you know, all of a sudden, no auditions, right? And so I literally joined TikTok because I needed students. I needed more students. And one of my like dear friends and mentors was like, there's this thing called TikTok and it's kind of like educational. Like, you know, it's a place to learn and, you know, you could post a little bit about what you do. And anyway, so I literally just like, here's a tip to hit this high note in this song. And here's, you know, a trick. Here's a vowel modification that helps people get through this note in this, whatever. And it like totally, totally, totally blew up. And I think I just joined at the right time. I mean, truly, I joined with the intention of like, hopefully I can find some more students because I was teaching online and they can be from anywhere. And yeah, I mean, TikTok has like built my entire business because very quickly it got to a point where there were many more people wanting lessons than I had hours in the day. So now I have 7 associate teachers. 7 associate teachers.
Oh my gosh.
Because of TikTok mainly. I have a whole business and a whole studio and I just launched an online course, an online singing program. And anyway, I mean, at this point, it's not just TikTok, but it really started off that way. And I owe that app a lot. it's pretty cool. It's cool.
Yeah. I mean, I know a lot of like in Beetlejuice, we had people whose followers grew, you know, substantially just being in the show. But for you to grow, you weren't even in a show. And for you to grow in just a few years to 2 million followers, that's really astounding.
It was pretty crazy. Yeah, I do think I joined at the right time. I think
And also, you have something very specific, which I do think is key on TikTok. You have to kind of find your niche. It's almost like what I teach is different from you, but like how you find that thing, that your special sauce, right? As an actor, the thing that makes you stand out from everybody else, you have to find that on TikTok too.
Found
it. You found this like hole that kind of that really people, something that they really wanted. And now that you've done it, how much do you have to keep feeding the machine? You know,
I don't, you know, people ask me that question and I feel lucky because I don't feel that I have a particularly complicated relationship with social media, and I know a lot of people do. And so I enjoy it. I really enjoy it. I mean, sure, maybe there are moments when it's more work than others, but you know, I wouldn't have gotten into it if I didn't know that like making little videos would feel fun to me. To that point, you know, sometimes people are like, is the only way to build a business? Join TikTok is the only way to be an actor. To join TikTok is the only way. And it's like, no. And if you don't have that inclination, don't do it, because you're going to hate it. And frankly, like your audience is going to see that you don't enjoy it. So don't do it. It's not necessary.
I mean, when I say performers have to have it, you don't have to have 2 million followers, but I do think it helps. But I do think performers have to just put themselves and have videos. You could have 5 videos of you singing on TikTok and that's it.
Yep.
Just so people can find you. You can use TikTok to help you. If you know a show is coming out, you can put the hashtags for that show and sing something from that show.
Yep.
That's something. But you don't have to interact with people. You don't have to constantly make content.
Yeah. No. And it also doesn't have to be TikTok. It's just an online presence is really important. Yeah, of course.
Yeah. I do think TikTok is like a way for the future of theater that isn't being tapped into enough.
I agree.
And so I would love to talk to you. There's so much I want to talk to you about, but just for people out there, because I think in Beetlejuice, it helped our show so much. And so many shows don't even have people that help them with TikTok.
Yep.
And most. So for you, I think, most. For you, I feel like shows aren't even like tapping into your potential. Like you could go into a show and really help revive a show just with the videos that you post, being in the show, getting ready for the show, all of that kind of thing.
I don't think people get it. And you know, it's funny because like there is a big chunk of people that get it. And those people are brands and they're paying us a lot of money to make ads. And they're, you know, like, part of the world really gets it and is tapping into it, and theater doesn't get it yet. I don't think. Like sometimes I go on these podcasts and people will be like, so do you feel like your 1 million, 2 million followers, whatever, has like really helped you get the jobs you get? And it's like, I actually have not seen that. Surprising. I know maybe that's surprising, but like, you know, I've built so many connections, things like this where I meet you. Oh my God, how cool, right? But I have yet to get a job because of that. In fact, we talked a little bit about this. Sometimes it sort of hinders you. Sometimes shows are scared of someone with a big following and scared of, you know, I think some shows feel nervous about like how they are represented. And so they don't want their actors to take that on. And social media is the wild, wild west. Like, it's new and it's foreign and it's scary, I think. But like you said, I think it can save shows. It can build shows. There are all these shows that, like, wouldn't have happened if not for social media. So, I think there's a lot of power.
And here's the thing. Here's the thing. I don't think shows should be hiring, you know, TikTok influencers who aren't talented. But there are so many talented people. I mean, I saw your videos. You're crazy talented. And it's dumb for shows not to use you, honestly. The fact that, you know, like, it's just, in my mind, it just is like, if I'm going to choose between two people, why wouldn't I choose the one that's going to, it's also like an art. You know, you are creating your own work. You are, you have to be artistic in order to make these TikToks, you know? So it's like you're showing me that you have more than what it takes to make it in my show.
Yeah, I think that we underestimate. Yeah, I think it takes a lot of smarts and like marketing savvy and knowing yourself. And yeah, totally.
Yeah. So just on a technical side, now that you've been doing this for a while, do you have any pointers for our viewers? Like, are there hashtags that they should use? How do you find about things like that?
Oh my gosh. I don't think much about hashtags for what it's worth. I'm sure there's an art to that. I don't spend much time there though. You know, trending sounds are a really fun thing to do. You know, you see the videos.
And how do you even find those?
Honestly, like just from following other people and seeing what sounds they're using. And I mean, I'm thinking trending sounds, not so much like just like use the song that's the most popular at a given time, but like, you know, people do those videos where you like lip sync over someone else saying something and then you make it unique to your situation. And then, you know, like the comedy in that can be really fun, I think. But yeah, honestly, I think it's about knowing yourself and about what you have to offer. And like there's an art to being succinct, I think, that people underestimate, because especially with TikTok, like, you know, videos under a minute just like do better. And
that's a really good point.
Yeah, if you can get your point across with a really flashy, interesting first sentence in 45 seconds or 30 seconds or 15 seconds, like that, you know, we're living in an age where people have shorter attention spans, for better or for worse. So anyway, there's just you develop an eye, I think, over time, figuring out what does well and what doesn't. But the other thing is, honestly, I really don't place my value on what goes viral and what doesn't. Like, it doesn't matter. I don't know. I have a belief that actually, like, the videos that go viral, awesome, cool, I'm reaching a lot of people, but those aren't necessarily like my core people. So for me, like, you know, my core people would be people who are probably, you know, interested in the arts, interested in singing, interested in theater. And those are the people that are going to come back, you know, over and over again and ask for advice and maybe take a lesson and, meet me at a stage door and whatever. That's who I'm making these videos for, right? So when I do like a viral video of me teaching a voice lesson to a donkey and it's hysterical, that's awesome. But it's only, you know, it's going to reach, okay, say it reaches 10 million people. That's so great. But it's, those aren't my core audience. I don't know that they're going to follow me. I don't know that, you know, it's cool.
Right.
So I think there's a lot of value actually in the videos that only get, I don't know, 10,000 views, because those 10,000 people are like the people. And it might not be as flashy of a video, but it's probably a more informational video. It's probably a more, so anyway, there's value to all of it. So don't put your, I don't know, don't place too much value on like, how many views can I get and can I go viral? You know, does that make sense?
That is so smart. Such great advice. Have you like paid attention? I mean, you kind of answered my question just because you don't really pay attention to the volume, but do you pay attention to like the times you post things, or are you supposed to know anything like that?
Oh, God. I'm sure that a social media strategist would tell you yes. You know, I guess I don't post too early in the morning or too late at night, but otherwise I just post.
Oh. Yeah. Oh, okay. And how much would you say you post like a week?
I usually post like about one video a day, I would say.
Wow, you do one video a day.
Yeah. It used to, during my first year, and I do think, honestly, this is important if you're trying to build a following. during my first year or two, I was pretty like, I would just batch film, you know, once a week maybe, and have something to post every day. And I was really consistent about it. And these days I just kind of post when I feel like I can or want, and it's not always every day, but there is something about, yeah, being consistent for sure.
Okay. And now you can make money from like people, brands.
Yeah. So that's crazy. That's like the new frontier, right? Like people are realizing that, you know, your typical, you know, video ad that you would place on cable TV, like, isn't reaching everyone because no one has cable TV anymore and all the things, right? And you can really reach people via social media. So yeah, there's a whole world there, and I'm not even, you know, my niche is so like specific that mostly I'm just like working with singing or musical theater adjacent brands, you know, like I'm not, I'm not going to make a video for like, you know, milk. I don't know, probably, but, right. But yeah, there's the whole there. Yeah. There's a career in this for sure.
Do you have an agent that represents you for things like that?
Just recently. Yeah. I signed with a management company. Yeah. And that's been really helpful because I think because it is so like uncharted territory, like I just didn't know what to ask for. Like, I mean, yeah, to be candid, you know, like it's like, oh my gosh, I'm making a video for someone. I mean, I make videos every day, right? But no, you have to know your worth. You have to know that that spot on your feed means something to this brand and really can do a lot for this brand. And you're going to be selling their product and making them a lot of money. So they should be paying you well, you know? And it's also like, you know, unlike, you know, booking an industrial commercial where you get paid given how many times it is shown or how many years it's shown, like, you know, there's residuals and all that, like, that's not a thing with social media, but they could, if you're not careful, you know, you could give your content with complete, you know, no exclusivity and they could have it forever. And, you know, so there's just a lot of things that I've learned from having a manager, things to ask for, things to make sure, you know, to take into account. All, yeah, it's interesting.
Thank you so much, Emily Kristen Morris, for being with us and for sharing all your TikTok knowledge. I have so many more questions. So I'm going to ask you to come back next week to talk more about your course and all of this stuff that you're doing to kind of build your own career. So come back next week, everyone.
Yay!
Thank you so much for listening. If you would like me to come to your school or theater group and give a masterclass or a talk back, please reach out at carriebutlercoach.com. If you like this podcast and want more episodes, please go to bpn.fm/breakingbroadway and subscribe, like, or share.
Together, you and I are breaking Broadway.
Hey, it's Leslie Odom Jr. here on the Broadway Podcast Network to tell you about the RISE Theater Directory, a program of Maestro Music. RISE is a national online resource designed to connect and empower backstage and administrative and creative theater professionals from underrepresented backgrounds. If you work or aspire to work in the theater community, this can help you find your next project. And if you hire theater professionals, search the RISE Theater Directory to find your next team. Create your profile now and get more information by visiting risetheater.org. That's theater with an RISETHEATRE.org, because only together we rise.